conventional financial planning model is it's overlooked that people need cash. They need capital. They need money to do things right now, not when they're 59 and a half. They've got tuition. They want to build a pool. They want to do this. They want to do that, whatever. They need money to do that. And, you know, shame on them, right? I need to liquidate my mutual funds, or I need to liquidate some of my brokerage account so that I can go build that pool. Well, you just permanently wiped out all of the growth that you spent the last 15, 20 years building in that particular vehicle, right? If you're using the strategy of IBC, whole life insurance, there is no liquidation. The money never stops growing. And that is the key difference.
You said something there that's great. There's liquidity without liquidation. Where else can you get that? Without jumping through a bunch of hoops, filling out a bunch of paperwork and requesting permission, like the equity in your home, right? With these policies, you've got liquidity without liquidation because you're not actually spending your own money. Your cash value continues to compound, continues to grow uninterrupted. If you're using the appropriate company to do so, right? So there's some caveats there, but if you choose the right company, your cash value is not gonna take a hit or be interrupted whatsoever when you want liquidity. And liquidity is everything, man. I mean, how many people have you talked to, Paul, who, and maybe this is you listening out there, where, hey, I'm contributing to my retirement plan, my qualified plan every single month religiously, but I'm also going into debt and paying, say, 20% interest or 29% interest on a credit card because I don't have the capital available to go buy what I need to buy, or maybe buy what I want to buy. Maybe you're buying stuff you don't need. So does it make sense to be funding a qualified plan that is averaging 10% over, you know, year over year versus, and while also carrying debt that's costing you 29%? To me, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
It makes no sense.
Right. The math don't math.
Yeah. That dog won't hunt.
That dog won't hunt. Yeah. You can say that now. You're in Tennessee, man. You're a country boy.
Yeah. Right?
So, you know, one of the other things is this whole volume versus rate. So I've got a video on YouTube and I had a client once, actually it was a friend. He became a client and he's like, you know what? The thing that got me is when you told me how the banks make money. And if you can do that yourself, you took over the banking role. So what banks do right now, maybe you can get a 4% high yield savings account, right? They're willing to pay you 4%. But if you go get a loan, I don't even know what the cheapest loan rates are right now. Maybe they're low single or high single digits. Call it 8%, right? You go to get a personal loan and it's going to cost you 8%. So the bank is paying you 4%. And then loaning your money out at 8%. Most people, you ask them, well, how much is the bank making on that transaction? They're saying, well, they're making 4%. They're making the spread. Well, they're making a spread all right, but it's a heck of a lot more than 4%. Try 100%. So if I had $100 of somebody else's money, you give me $100, Paul, and I promise to pay you $4 over the course of a year on that 100. And then I take that 100 and I loan it out to our producer, David, and charge him 8%. He's going to pay me $8 over the year. What was my cost and what did I earn on that? What did it cost me to earn $8?
The cost is just the interest you owe.
Right. So it cost me $4 to make $8. I doubled my money. Right. And this is the exact kind of math that we use when we start.
I'll do that all day.
All day. Do I want to double my money? Yes. So it's the exact kind of math that we use when we are the banker in our own life, because I can borrow money, say at 5 or 6%. I'm going to go put it into investment, making 10 to 15%, and I'm making a whole lot more than that spread, right? If I'm borrowing at 5 and I make 10, I just double my money in the year.
Yep. And that is how the banks do it, folks. They are taking your money, inflating it 100 or 1,000%, and then they're loaning it back to you and charging interest for it. They're creating money out of nothing and then loaning it back to you and charging interest.
Yep. So you could either put all your money in somebody else's bank, allow them to earn, you know, to double their own money, their cost, you know, what they spend to pay you interest, they can go double that by using your money to loan out to somebody, or you can do it yourself. Capitalize yourself. And that's what, you know, I've been doing for 16 years now. And Paul's been doing since what?
Yep.
For we're 7 or 8 years now. Seven to eight.
Yeah. Well, technically since 2003, just not the right, the right kind.
That's right. You've had a whole life since 2003. Yep.
I'll say this. This makes me think of what Nelson talks about in the book is people, everybody, doesn't matter. Everyone is fighting a perpetual financial headwind because all the things we just discussed, you're paying interest to someone else's bank, you're interrupting compound growth on your investment accounts or your savings constantly. Every time you take money out of savings to go on vacation, you've just interrupted that money. Incorporating the infinite banking concept into your life is going to add, not right away, but over time, is going to add a tremendous financial tailwind, which is going to benefit not only you in this life right now, but the next generation, the generation after that. And we already know, because we've discussed it on many episodes, our children are going to struggle to be homeowners.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
And luckily, we are putting things in place now, which is going to give them advantage, tremendous advantage over their peers that aren't practicing IBC.
Right. So our children may not struggle to be homeowners, but that generation certainly will. That's a very difficult thing for that generation. I think the average first-time home buyer is something like 40 years old right now. I might need to get that fact checked, David. But
yeah, 38, I think.
Yeah, it's something like that. But, you know, bottom line here, when you put your money in banks, banks don't get rich by earning high rates of return. They get rich by keeping money in motion.
Hey, I'm Dave.
And I'm Paul.
And this is the Wealth Warehouse Podcast.
Oh, go check out in the show notes the link to our website, thewealthwarehousepodcast.com. We've got a bunch of great resources on there. You can watch Dave's little video that's very handy. And do not schedule a call with us unless you've read Nelson's book, which if you're watching us on YouTube, it's right there. So read Becoming Your Own Banker, maybe some other books in IBC, schedule a call with us. We'll be more than happy to talk with you.
Absolutely. And until next time, control your capital.
Or somebody else will.